I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Red Room. So you wanna be a rider, well you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminishing, the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed in the rant room. We let that shit up off our chest. You never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the craft of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. Welcome to the rant room.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest, and you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room, where we keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, everybody?
Game all day!
Yeah, on this show we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture, but our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, and shit like that. So, a couple things I want to tell y'all. New year, this is the second episode of the season. We fixed the jump off big time with y'all. We got the sisters in the building. It's going to be one of them shows. Y'all can tell. Hey. We're going to have fun today. Just a couple little things for y'all. Like I said, we're doing lots of new things. We're having the website rebuilt. We're new logo. Lots of new things coming in the next couple weeks. We're going to be selling t-shirts and merch. Like, nice. I'm really trying to turn it up. Because eventually what I want to do for the grown folks, I really want to do, I've been avoiding it for years because some of my co-hosts in the past didn't want to do the show on video because they felt like, oh, the camera's on. You know what I mean? So I'm like, well, bitch, I like the camera. So I'm going to start moving. So you'll see these clips we're starting to do is my way of moving more toward that. I want my own Drink Champ show.
There we go.
You know what I'm saying?
There we go.
Just so you know, I'm drinks. Putting it out there for y'all, motherfuckers out there. You know, Uncle Kirk can produce it. You know what I'm saying?
Uncle Kirk.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yikes.
Exactly. All right. So if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get into the show. So today, let me introduce my little sis in the building, Asha Davis. Y'all know her out there, killing the game on all kind of TV shows, everywhere, movies and stuff. We see you, girl. What's up, Asha? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and just chop it up. You know how it is.
Dope. And then we got Lynette. I'm about to say Lynette. Lynette.
Get it right, get it tight.
Lynette Tichelle in the building.
What's up, what's up, what's up?
Thanks. Actor, writer, producer herself. Killing the game.
You know, I got to keep it busy, keep it moving.
Yes, indeed. Move a little closer to you.
Yeah.
Of course, the big sis in the building. God, I've known you over 20 years.
Wow.
Look, she the OG in the building. Look at y'all.
Look. Right. I'm the big sister.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So. Joni Bovill?
Bovill.
Why don't I say Bob?
20 years and you can't say it.
I always want to say Bob. That's Kirk's fault. See?
Yeah. Joni
Bovill. Got it. Mm-hmm. Kirk in the building. Her husband. What's up, Kirk? We appreciate y'all. Happening? Yes, indeed. Actress, writer, producer, author, all kind of stuff you do.
Singer.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Oh, she said she got there bars like that.
Hey. That's a sample.
Exactly. Okay. We have to put her on the spot in a minute. No. Okay.
I'll give drop her that beat.
Exactly. With the drop them 16s on us. Well. Okay. Exactly, exactly, exactly. Welcome to the show, Joni.
Thank you. Indeed. I'm honored to be here.
Yes,
you
indeed.
Know?
Indeed.
Thank you for thinking of me.
No, of course. So I wanted to have you guys on the show. Now, Lynette and Asha, you guys have heard me say this before. Over the years, Joni, and I think I mentioned this to you, Kirk, a while ago. I know you're not on mic, but I'm just talking to you like you are on the mic and shit. That's because it's the writer's room, so just deal with it.
Yeah.
I've been... So let me preface it like this. So I haven't been acting since 2004. The last show I did was Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which is a sold-out show. We were killing it,
wow.
Right? And when I started writing in 2001, it was very much not okay to be a hyphenate. Mm-hmm. It, you know, like Lena and Issa and everybody killing the game now.
Yes.
But when we were coming up, you had to either be an actor, a director,
this
a writer, whatever. You can get with this.
Or you can get with that.
Okay, look.
They said, find your box.
Exactly. That's going to be the next link.
Yep. Yep.
And so, fast forward all these years later, Hamilton comes out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I come from musical theater. So, I see Aaron Burr, and I'm like, man, if I could do that role, mm-hmm. I would go back in a heartbeat. Wow. Now, what got in the way, though, and y'all know this for being trained actors, if you don't work that vocal, mm-hmm. if you don't go to dance class, yeah, like I was, mm-hmm. dude, 20-something years ago, I was in class two-a-days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Easy. Now, brother's still in shape, but it ain't like that.
Right.
Facts.
Pretty Ricky, what they called him. Now, so fast forward all these years later, there's bug in me. Mm-hmm. So what usually happens, and this is why I want to talk to y'all. What usually happens is this. Say, Joni, you have a film you and Kirk are working on. Mm-hmm. You go, you know who'd be great for this? Hill would be dope for this. Mm-hmm. Hill, we got this role for you. I'd be like, nah, I'm going to call Kareem Grimes or Sean Peterson or somebody. They'll want to do it. Mm-hmm. I'll help you produce it. Mm-hmm. That's what I did for the last 14 years in particular, right? Wow. And so I was like, fast forward. I've been putting it out there. I know this is long, but I just want to preface this for everybody.
Yeah. Take your time,
Chad. Yeah, we listen.
We in church now. Yeah. We're in church. Yes. Right? It's Sunday.
Come on, Steve. Come on. Let them use it.
Look. I'll try to keep this. I'll keep it a little shorter. So, fast forward. Right before Christmas, I get a call from a producer friend of mine who I've had on the show. Who I said, you know, I'm kind of thinking about acting again a little bit, blah, blah, blah. So remember you were saying you was thinking about acting? So why don't you come do this lead role in this new horror film that I'm about to do? And I was like, it's just a reading. And I was like, and at first I was like, hell no.
Shut it down.
What?
And then I went, oh, I said I was supposed to say yes to shit, didn't I? Uh-huh. And I went, all right, I'll do it. So I did it. And I was a nervous wreck for 1 minute before we started. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the action and the descriptions went in, I sunk into the character.
There we go. Right
back. Like there the muscle memory just kicked in, and I felt, and I just had COVID like a week or so before, and thank God I don't have it no more. Yeah. And so my voice was kind of groggy, so it really worked with the character. And I was like, sexy Craig over there.
We're going to find a way to make it work.
We're going to get COVID. We're going to get 19.
I did this role. When it was over, I said, you know, everybody's like, you know, talking about script and stuff. And I said, I just have a little confession. I literally haven't acted in probably 20 years, whatever. And everybody was like, what? You know, so his agent was like, oh, I thought you were like, I was going to look you up to see if you wanted to come over here. And I was like, oh, no. Right. I still go back to that. Right. Uh-huh. So I'm driving home and I start bawling.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it was, I knew it was going to happen. You always get it up. Yes. And I start bawling. I was like, why did I stop? Mm-hmm. But I realized the climate was different then. Mm. So what I want to talk to y'all about, y'all gonna get a brother.
It's all right.
Okay, let it
so out. I want to talk to y'all about is how did y'all sustain? Let me start with you, Joni. Mm-hmm. Coming up, we both came up during that time. Mm-hmm. How did you sustain going from being an actor to saying fuck that? And I know I'm cussing a lot.
Right.
Welcome to the rant room. Mm-hmm. to. I'm going to be my own boss, and I'm going to start producing. I'm going to start writing. I'm going to start, you know what I mean? How did you say forget what the you know where I'm going. I can't even answer the damn question.
Yeah, I feel
she knows.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I mean what you know.
Yeah.
You know, you know it's, I think the way I came into this whole thing is different from most. So for me, it's been different from day one. So, and what I mean by that is, I came into this from corporate America in my 40s.
Really?
Who does that?
You started late.
Nice. Right? So, yeah.
I don't think I knew you started late.
I was in high-tech marketing. Oh. And we moved here because of my husband, Uncle Kirk's job. And
they had that house on the hill. We was chilling over there.
We had a house on the hill with the guest house.
Yes,
swimming pools, then, movie stars.
Look. When we decided to switch into entertainment, we moved out of that house.
That's tracking.
For obvious reasons. But I said all that to say, it's been different for me for day one. So I kind of came into this game different.
Okay.
Like, you making me cuss. Like, not giving a shit what people think.
I knew I'd get
so
it out of you.
I think it made it easier for me when things are slow. It's like I've always been. And just going back to my roots, my Mississippi roots, growing up in poverty, like that thing my mom used to always say, we've done so much for so long with so little, we can do damn near anything with almost nothing.
Yep.
Tell him.
So, tell him. Given that, it's like I'm a survivor, I'm going to make it work.
Right.
So when the work is slow, I stay in line, first and foremost. Don't get out of line, because that's another thing one of our actor friends, very mature actor friend of ours, told us. He was like, don't get out of line. And I like to pass that on to people. Mm-hmm. Younger actors than me, I always tell them, don't stay in line. Mm-hmm. Right. Like on the playground when you were growing up, your bat is coming.
Right.
But if you get out of line and go get on the slide, somebody else is going to take your slot. So stay in line. Even while you're doing other stuff.
Right.
But I was just like, what can we do in this downtime that's going to add to our bottom line?
Right.
And that's when we started producing short film, writing stuff here and there. And I'm not writing in-house like you guys are, but I tend to write outside.
Explain that.
And other, like for magazines and stuff.
Oh, right.
You know, like contributing writing stuff. I even wrote for, most recently, I wrote for the Messianic Times, which is a Messianic Jewish magazine.
Interesting.
So stuff like that.
Come on, range.
Outside the box. You talk about outside the box. So, you know, stuff like that, because you gotta keep it moving.
Right.
You got to keep your creativity flowing and keep some income coming in, because you got to get the bills paid at the end of the day.
And it's still an artistic side of yourself.
Yeah. It still is.
Yes.
But it just doesn't necessarily have to be because someone else called me and said, I want you to do this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But just, you know, we just sustain. I'm all about sustaining.
Okay. What about you, Lynette?
Okay. That's dope.
I gotta follow that.
So let me see. The question was how did you pivot? Pivot. Okay, what was the pivot?
That's the better word.
Got it. Okay. I would say that coming out here, obviously, I came out here. Let me see. I'll say 2010. Really, it was November 2009. With one mission, just to become an actress, not to become, but to exercise what I already was. Because I came from theater, and I'd done a couple of different tours and things like that, and I wanted to just make that leap and just, you know, get off the bus and be discovered. Duh. And so it was definitely, Hollywood tells you and shows you really quick what it is and what it isn't. And then just learning kind of to trust myself that I had enough. Yes. I know that when I first came, everybody puts these ideas in your head about what the path is. You have to do this and this, and you go to this class, and then you reach out to this agent, and it's so much, and everybody's journey is different. So if you can take the pieces and discard the rest. And so for me, it was not very quick. I mean, I've shared with Hilliard before. I met Phaedra Harris, a casting agent out here, while I was brought on to one of the sets that she cast everybody but me on, because I knew the person that was doing the composing and whatnot, and they were like, she's a dope actress, I think she'd be great. So linked up with her, long story short, ended up helping her with her classes, ended up becoming a reader for her.
Smart.
And able to see what the talent that was working talent in Hollywood and in specific Black Hollywood was looking like, presenting like, what was the preparation. And then the most important thing I learned was the conversations that happened when the door shut. Right. After the actors finished and they gave it their all, and then the politics started. And it was like, oh, she's brilliant. You know, we can't cast her. Oh, she looks just like the lead. Oh, this person
she's
is difficult.
Tall.
She's too tall. She's too short. Yeah. She's too tall. And so I was like, all of the anxiety.
Knowledge.
It ain't about you.
It's not. And it helps you to just shed so much. Because you go home and you're like, I know I killed it. I'm waiting for the phone. What's up with the call? And sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. And then sometimes you get it 3-4 years later for another project, like my boy.
Okay.
We've been down there. I'll share that story later. But I would say even in between those times of even finding work, because I would be the reader and then certain directors would be like, oh, you're dope. Or, you know, finding ways to get into different rooms. Even with that said, as a woman in Hollywood, as a black woman in Hollywood, right. the work ain't always working. Right. So you have to start creating. Mm-hmm. And I always say, like, don't wait, create. And so myself.
Put it on a t-shirt.
That's a t-shirt.
Yes.
We think it's the same thing.
Okay. So yeah, I started doing a lot more polishing my writing. I ended up, one of the directors that I write and produce with a lot is Corey Grant.
Shout out to Corey.
Shout out Corey Grant. And we met in a similar situation, reading and ended up collaborating, writing, and then now long-term partner. And we've done a lot with our company, with New Breed. And when you mentioned working outside of the system, we mm-hmm. write a lot of feature films, TV series, things that are outside of the system.
They in-house. They got it all.
Figured out how to skip the middleman, because mm-hmm. the middleman takes most of your money and then goes to slam dunks the alley-oop and you get what he gives you. And so figured out how to kind of connect where we need to be. And the biggest thing I realized with that is that writing was so much power. All the people that I wanted to be able to uplift, all the stories that I wanted to be able to tell, and there wasn't a space. It was so empowering to say, you know what, we can do it. Oh, shoot. Now, how are we gonna fund it? All right, now we got to go ahead and try to raise funds. Let's tap into your resources, my resources. Mm-hmm. Crap, now we need to produce it. Guess we got to do that. And so it's when you learn to put your hands in every part of the industry and trial and error, because you learn the bumps, you learn what not to do, you learn how to make sure your budgets are lean, tight, and at the end of the day that the work is on the screen.
That the
money is on the screen. And so that's been how I've maneuvered, and I think that I didn't plan for it to be that way. In my perfect world, I would have been series regular year one.
See, right.
But then I wouldn't have learned. But I would not. I would have had no idea how to, the word you use, sustain. And what this taught me was just how to keep creating and creating, and now being able to learn how valuable your IP is and holding on to different IPs. I have a project finally coming back that we own. You know that it's we get that back, and now you get to reinvest in yourself, and so. My whole thing has been the strike kind of showed everybody else how important independent film is and independent writers and things like that. And now I think the industry's taking notice, and a lot of models are trying to figure out how to slash and cut, and how do indie people do what they do. And it's just made me stand a little taller and feel a little bit better. Like, this was my journey. This was on purpose.
We're gonna come back to that indie part. We're gonna come back to that. Because you know.
But that's my pivot.
I love it. What about you, Asha?
It was beautiful. I definitely came to Hollywood in the time where, you know, people definitely, like Hilliard was saying, they put you in a box and they just locked you up tight. Like, okay, you're this. So my story is, when I was auditioning, the first thing that I ever booked was The King of Queens. It was a comedy. I went to Groundlings. I did...
She's funny.
Yeah, yeah, I just love comedy. My family is the type of family, like, when even when things are down and out, we're laughing. We're making each other laugh till we cry, you know, type of situation. So I really love comedy. It's like in my heart. And so when I booked that King of Queens, I wasn't in the union. So they're like, we're not going to Taft-Hartley you, you know, like, pay that fine. Sorry.
Like, I'm the next one.
Exactly. Maybe the next one. Like, maybe someone else will take a chance on you and then we'll piggyback on that. And so I was, you know, disappointed, whatever. And I ended up getting, the next thing was like Gilmore Girls, which was the more of a drama kind of situation. Next thing you know, guys, I'm like, you know, heavy drama actor. Like, I'm in the hospital dying. I'm being chased by, you know, like, you know, criminals. I'm like, it was just, all my work was just like, you know, really heavy. I'm like, dang, this isn't even me. Like, this is so crazy. But I loved it and I found a way, you know? So then when I decided, I was like, I really want to do comedy. That's my love. I just had to take a chance, you know? And luckily, the brilliant Kim Williams reached out to me about her web series. Shout out. The Unwritten Rules, and I played the only black coworker in a, you know, all white corporate setting, and you know,
it still works today.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes, like people touching my hair, like, oh, you know, or like, oh, that smells interesting about your lunch, you know. And Hilliard did a brilliant, you know, directorial, you know, debut on there. I don't know if it was your debut. It was working with him.
I just did one of the episodes.
Yeah. And he was amazing. amazing at it.
I was what?
You're amazing.
Shout out to
Hilliard.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hilliard right there. Right there. Yeah, I fell in love instantly.
We were nominated for 3 Emmys. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing. No big deal. So, but that's why I had, so that was like my first major pivot was like, listen, I realized like once Hollywood puts you in that box, you've got to break out of it. Mm-hmm. They're not going to like take it. Oh, let's take a chance and see if she's funny. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you have to show them, you know, what you can do. Mm-hmm. So that's when I first learned like, okay, I have to kind of take things into my own hands. I can't just wait for people to, you know, give me that chance. Right. So that was definitely like my first pivot. And then like with writing, I went to school, I went to GW and I studied communications and I loved writing. But I got really scared and just kind of like abandoned it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I was just like, I don't know if I'm good enough. You know, I had that kind of feeling, but it's something that I truly love. And just realizing that I just have to throw myself back into it. Same thing, show people that I can mm-hmm. do it because it's what I love. So instead of like waiting, like mm-hmm. you said, don't wait, create. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you have to do out here in these streets.
Right. I love that. One of the things I love about the three of you is I love, well, number one, I'm a little bit of a theater snob. So I love actors that are trained. I'm not somebody who's like, oh, I took this scene study class. I'm like, but you ain't doing that. You could be doing that at home with your friends. You know what I mean? But there's something about the theater that does something.
Love it.
It's the little things. Mm-hmm. It's the presenting to the back of the room mm-hmm. is a very important thing. It's the understanding you're upstaging someone. Mm-hmm. It's the understanding you're not in the light.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and I can't tell you, you were talking a moment ago, Lynette, about being the reader. As somebody who's produced mm-hmm. a lot of things and sat behind the desk, and like I wonder now where I would be now as an actor, mm-hmm. knowing what I know.
Right. Oh man.
Right.
Dangerous.
But I want to come in.
Still dangerous.
Don't mean have me send in some video and shit.
Right.
You ain't gonna get the best of me. I'm better in the room. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing for me is this. We watch these actors change careers, meaning not change careers, pivot their careers mm-hmm. consistently today, in the last 10 years in particular. Mm-hmm. And I find myself in awe of it. Like, as a matter of fact, some of the biggest, most prestigious production companies are actors who have mm-hmm. companies now. They're, mm-hmm. their own pods, right? Mm-hmm. What I was going to ask you guys, I was talking about, I love how the fact that every one of you guys are like strong character actors. Like every time I see you, Joni, you a different character in some shit.
Nice.
She be in a commercial, giving you mama.
Yes.
Hello.
A reporter in something else. Like she just is all over the gamut. How do you keep that energy going for yourself like that? You know what I mean?
Wow. Just do it, man. Just be in the moment. Mm-hmm. We just gotta be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. even when you were saying, Asha, mm-hmm. you love comedy, but when you got called to do drama, you just did drama.
Did it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just in us. Mm-hmm. And I keep going back to that for some reason. It's like, mm-hmm. we are survivors. Mm-hmm. It's just like, we just know what to do.
Right.
And, but we also have, that sense of doing it well.
Mm-hmm.
So that is like whatever we put our hands to do, we want it to be done well.
Right.
So you just can't, there's no half doing it. There's no sidestepping. There's no shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
So just do it. Just do the work.
I guess where I was going is like, I know a lot of other actors who here's the thing. As an actor, a lot of people think they're good at everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you eventually get to a point where you realize, you know, I'm really strong at this.
No, I'm stronger. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Asha, when you said that part about how you're a comedy actor, but yet you're getting all the drama.
Yeah.
Here's why I'm not surprised. And this is what hit me.
Uh-huh.
You talked about, was it Groundlings?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell actors, your quickest shortcut to becoming an actor that is uninhibited. That's the word, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that word in projects.
Come on, man.
to me, the quickest way to is to do improv.
Yeah.
Because it makes you in a way where you're not afraid to, this is what I always say, to be ugly.
Yep. Mm.
True. You're not afraid to look silly. Okay. So it's easier for you to go deeper and not worry about having tears or blood on you or whatever. Because when you're a drama actor, a lot of times you're worried about how you look.
Yeah. So true.
Right?
True.
Don't
Let's
talk
do
about
that. Do that take again. My ugly cry.
It's so funny too because when I first thought about becoming an actor, I always thought about like soap opera, and I was like, I'm gonna look so pretty. I'm gonna have like the best hair, and my face is gonna be gorgeous, and the clothes are gonna be tight.
Yeah.
I did none of that. I've always had crying. She doesn't need makeup. No. Oh, her hair is sticking like that. That's perfect. You know,
and especially on sets where it's not makeup artists that look like us.
Yeah.
Don't get started.
She's fine.
Your hair is always perfect.
That's great.
And then you look after the take,
and you're like, for real?
That's a whole other episode right there.
Yes.
No. Yeah. But I think what you said is so true, like coming from comedy, because if you start with comedy, it's one of those things where if you can nail comedy and you nail not worrying, giving a crap what people are looking at, how you feel, it's easier, especially if you know how to play the situation, to play drama. And I find that sometimes it's different when you see people that only do dramatic acting to come to comedy. So it's like if you're a comedic actor, you're going to be living in that moment, in that space. You're going with the situation. And sometimes it's not your punchline. It's not the ba-dum-bum. You know, like it's not that old school comedy writing.
Right.
It's just you being present in that moment that sells the funny, which is why it can translate you being present in that moment selling the drama versus dramatic people trying to overcompensate if they don't have training in both.
So true.
So I love when people start from comedy because then you know you can write anything for them.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's great.
And they don't usually question you much.
They're excited
about the fact that they get to be challenged. You know what I mean? Yep. Whereas other people are like, I gotta get in the water and it's cold at night. They're like, ooh. The other way is like, I gotta get in the water and it's cold at night. Ooh, that means I could do this and I could do this and I could do this. You know what I mean? Yes. You're just uninhibited by it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me. Okay.
Cool.
Like that. That's dope. What did I tell you, Johnny? It's called the rant room. We'll be going off on some shit.
I'm loving it.
Ain't nothing planned. I ain't got no questions for y'all.
Improv.
Exactly.
This is just like people jumping in on a conversation with a bunch of, you know, hyphens.
Yeah.
Right?
I love it.
So you were talking about like your journey up.
Mm-hmm.
Same for you, Lynette. When you and Corey started doing your work, when did you guys realize we could take it to the next level with like an Angie's Cure and be winning awards and all that stuff like that? Like when did you realize we need to forget the short films, let's do the feature films?
You know, it was always, I never, and I still to this day, other than the film festival route and the recognition that can come with short films, because I think they're a beautiful way, A, for actresses to show this is the pivot.
Right.
You've seen me as this, but this is a good way to, now you can see me in this in a short. I didn't, in terms of just the business side of it, how can we have something that we can sell, that we can continue to put places and then retain ownership and then be able to use that and flip that into something else. So for me, it was always like, for the price that most people that are working with huge budgets in Hollywood will throw to a little short, you can take that budget and you can make a feature as long as you're really diligent and you've got great camp, a great team. You know how it goes. Making sure that your $300,000 project or $200,000 project looks like you spent $1 million plus.
Absolutely.
And so
it's all about resources.
It's all about resources. And I know people that are like, hey, I got 70 or 80K. I'm going to try to make this short. I'm like, you got 70, 80. Well, then we need to kick up a little bit and then we'll figure out the rest, because at that point, now you have something that you can use as a, you know, I think shorts are a great calling card and they're great pivots.
Yep.
And it's also great for awards, you know, and things like that. You can get your stuff out quickly. But in terms
of, if you want to reinvent yourself,
that's great for that. But I think pretty early on, working outside of the system, it's sustaining. And shorts by themselves, we didn't find that was something that would sustain us.
Right.
creatively, sure. Financially, maybe not.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not like there's a lot of places. It's like, not a lot of, bring it here.
Yeah, bring it. We'll acquire it for X. And, right. You know, and so for us, it was very much. We love telling stories. We write. I mean, in all different genres. Like we currently have a sci-fi and a horror I'm working on now, mm-hmm. and then a remake of an older thing that we're doing. And it's just kind of like a lot of these things don't tell in 15 minutes.
Right.
And so the style of writing that I like to do, and then just the sustainability of it all, always has led me to features. And even when producing inside of the system, right. even seeing, that was an eye-opening moment, because producing inside of the system, you're seeing now, if you're coming on as a work for hire, and it's not, I mean, it's your production company, but your production company's being hired. Mm-hmm. Now you're seeing, wow, look what you guys are spending on all these other line items mm-hmm. that I don't have to spend. Yep. And I see what you guys are trying to kick me so I can do some quick math and know what you're mm-hmm. really doing. And it just further validates.
Know your worth.
Yeah, I'm going to keep doing it, you yep. know, this way until I don't want to do it that way yep. anymore.
And you've heard me say, Lynette, I think I've said it on your episode. Here's my philosophy, Joni. Mm-hmm. This is just my philosophy, by the way, and this is truth, whether people admit it or not. There's only three differences, in my opinion, between network and indie. Let's take network. On the network, you have more money. Mm-hmm. You have more people, and the turnaround is faster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to mm-hmm. break that down for you. So you have more money because you're doing a $6 million per episode TV show, right? Mm-hmm. You have more people because it's a city that's making this project. You know, being on both of those shows, there's a lot of y'all suckers on there.
Bosh.
Net Bosh. Mm-hmm. I always say, it's my British
it's
side.
It's like broke right? instead of broke.
Gotcha.
Okay. I'm broke, not broke.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. So there's more people. Mm-hmm. And then the turnaround is different in a network because you're on the actual schedule. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you might have a turnaround of 2 weeks before the edit is fullest, is right. done. You know what I mean? Right. Where in the indie world, let's yeah. take a feature film, mm-hmm. you might have 30 people shooting the entire project, mm-hmm. right? Cast and everybody. Let's mm-hmm. just say in general. You might have, so that's the people. The money, let's say you're doing a $250,000 project. I'm generalizing. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, and then the turnaround is this. This is where it gets sticky in indie. In the indie world, I'm going, yo, I know my girl Jade, who's on the camera right now, is a dope editor. We could probably get her to edit this, but we have to do it on her time because she's in class during the day. mm-hmm. So it's probably going to take her 3-4 months to finish it. See what I'm saying? It's favors. Mm-hmm. It's resources.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you do that. Now you got the sound design dude who's doing a favor for you. You yep. see what I mean? Mm-hmm. All those favors start adding up. Yep. Something you did 2 years ago finally is ready to come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the only thing to hold you back is the money. Had you had the money, you would have been done.
Yep.
Right.
Right?
And then you learn as you go on, okay, when you're raising your money or when you're trying to secure enough, try to secure more so that
always.
Your favor
always
moves fast
yes.
or not, you know, or now you actually have this person, because some people like just get it in the can and that's cool. But post-production is a whole nother movie.
Whole nother movie.
Yeah. It's like once you have that in mind, it helps, because in the beginning, like you said, you get favors. Right. And then when you finally realize, okay, this is coming to be more of a machine,
right.
making sure that you keep enough so that this person is now on schedule and this person, yes. you're paying them enough to feel like, okay, I can go to someone else.
Right.
Because otherwise, exactly what you said. I mean, I've been held hostage by a VFX
yeah.
artist.
Yeah.
You know, it's
there's oh, and they'll, been, hold, they'll hold you hostage.
Yeah, yeah. And oh, so yeah. it's like you learn, yeah. Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I need it. Now that I mean, and everything VFX was new for me, mm-hmm. but everything else.
And
is
they know
like,
that.
Oh, and they do.
Yes.
And they'll sell
yes.
you the world. And so, oh, honey, this only take 20 days. And yep. then, you know, 8 months later, yep. they're still, oh, this had to redesign, had to shut this down, build it back.
Yep.
Got it. So once you kind of know better, you do better yep. when you can. So that's major difference with indie mm-hmm. is like if you can lock in your post-production,
yep.
then there's nothing that really separates you from the turnaround. But until you can have enough money to get through that or excellent people on time with yep. favors, mm-hmm. then part that of, is the setback.
Part of the problem is a lot of, here's what I see in the indie world. Mm-hmm. A lot of the filmmakers are making films and like you said, they haven't really even locked out the post yet.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they don't even have the money for the post.
Yeah.
They have the money
right.
for production.
You're raising yeah. money again.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And now they're in hold. And Welcome to Hollywood, y'all.
Ghetto bird. There's a lot of emergencies around here.
Everybody's exactly. Right?
I know.
Go to church.
So, they try to mess up my flow. See what I'm talking about? They knew I was about to give you some bars right there.
That's
a
trap.
Ain't nothing
that's
but the devil.
That's the devil.
That's the devil. It's Sunday. Look at that. So, where I'm going is, oh, please. Where I'm going with it is this. Nah, maybe if we fuck my God.
I know. I was like, where were you going?
It's all your fault. What was we talking about? What were we talking about?
Thank you.
Post-production and raising money. Yes. And like, yeah.
Yes. So I see a lot of filmmakers get stuck where they raise the money to shoot the film.
Yeah.
But what they don't realize is the contingencies you need for that will go into your money you plan to do in post if you don't do what you just said a moment ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where you really save some money,
yeah,
you know, for the post part of it. And you have to anticipate mm-hmm. that. Oh, that sounds interesting on camera.
She's being so sweet by getting water. So cute.
Yeah.
Well, you're taking a leak over here.
We all have to go to the bathroom collectively.
It was that sound. What is that? What is it? Is it ASMR? What is that?
Oh,
that
yes. Yeah. Yes. ASMR. Thank you so
thank
much.
You, thank you.
Thank you.
Rich, I was going to say, Rich, what were you doing over there? It sounds like somebody's peeing.
You got to go. You got to go.
Right.
But anyway, so a lot of times that's where they go wrong. Is they start the process and they don't quite understand what they need. So here's an example. This is just me. I don't think you should ever shoot without your editor on the set. Like, they need to see what's going on. And at least, especially on the days you know they're important days, like, you should invite them to the set. I need you to come today because we're doing that big car chase, whatever the hell it is. Mm-hmm. I need you to see this scene because it's complicated so that you could already get in your head how you're going to be doing it. Because a lot of times in the indie world, you don't have the money to have them already start the process. Why are you breaking shit, Rich?
What's going on, Rich?
It's because you're dropping game. It's exactly, like, exactly. The enemy is attacking.
I know, I know.
Be jealous.
You know what I mean? So you got to really plan. Anyway, I'm jumping all over the place. I forgot my damn thought.
No, but I thought that was a great idea. Yeah, what you were saying
with the editor inviting them.
Yeah, inviting them. And like, you know, like when you work in a restaurant and they're like, everyone should know what like the dishwasher does and the host. And if everyone knows kind of what's going on, then you can, you know, work more efficiently. And I think that's a great idea to invite people.
It's the same thing with your VFX. Like, you don't want to just be like, we're going to go shoot it and then send it to them.
Right. When they could have been on set and said, this will be easier. I'll be able to wipe out these lines. Yes. You know, so definitely.
Same thing.
Yeah.
You can say something, Jordan?
Nice, good stuff. No, you said it all.
I thought you were going to sing a song.
When you going to sing?
Mama, I want to sing or some shit. Let's talk about, for you, Asha, while we have you here, let's talk about the big show, the big break.
The big break.
What was that like?
Oh, man. I don't know. I feel like you have a couple big breaks, right? Like, in the first one, I think, like, my first series regular job. So let me think about that. I started as a guest star.
Because you got it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I remember, like, my second year, they're like, okay, you know, we're going to bump you up to series regular.
What show was this?
It was called South of Nowhere. It was on the N. I was playing, like, a little teenager. And I just remember feeling such gratitude that, you know, to actually get that and that people got to know you and wanted to keep you versus like, oh, we took a chance on you right away because we thought you had this or that and you kind of disappointed. But we had you there the whole time and we're like, yeah, we want to show her, you know, the respect and the, you know, just being able to feel the gratitude of that. So that was really amazing. And those people are still my family and friends. Like, I still am so connected to all those actors on the screen. But I do remember, it's funny, because when I booked that, I also started to book, like, Friday Night Lights at the same time. So I had to be...
Oh, they were tandem?
Yes. Oh, it was tandem. Because and this is how Hollywood works. Mm-hmm. You guys know, I think one of the producers from Friday Night Lights said that, like, his daughter had seen me on south of nowhere and was like, I like her. Yes.
Okay, so his daughter
was like the exactly was I owe her a debt of gratitude for that. It's crazy.
Yes,
and it's the kids of the producers, because even south of nowhere, I now that I'm thinking about it, Tommy Lynch told me that his son was like, loved my hair, like I had like a bush, and he was like, oh my god, her hair is amazing. And they're like, so you guys, it's the kids.
You got exactly.
You just never know who's watching. You never. I mean, the reasons that you get these things are so arbitrary. Like you have zero control over it, and so you just have to be you. You know, completely you, and love what you're doing, because I think when you love it, people can feel that energy. Yes. If you're having fun, the audience is having fun. That's like definitely my motto. So yeah, I mean, you just never know how you're going to get those big breaks, and so you just have to, like, you know, just be, like we were saying.
Speaking of big breaks, Roadmap Writers is best known for connecting emerging writers with literary representation through personal and strategic marketing plans developed with the writer. Check them out, y'all, at roadmapwriters.com and see all the cool stuff they have going on there. Be sure to follow them on the socials. And make sure you use the code RANTROOM23, all caps, y'all, for 10% off on everything. Linked in the show notes. Ever wonder how to bottle up pure excitement, unbridled joy, and limitless potential in a single word? Woohoo! Woohoo Apparel is on a mission to unleash the infectious energy of woohoo onto the world. And they're doing it with undeniable style. I'm talking cool, fun designs made of soft-combed, ring-spun USA premium cotton and 50% polyester, and in sizes from small to extra-large to fit all Woohoo enthusiasts across the globe. Get your t-shirts and apparel at WoohooApparel.com and use the promo code WoohooSRR. That's capital WOOHOO, lowercase SRR. Links in the show notes. So I was talking to Kemp Powers about this. He's the one who did One Night in Miami and what's the one with the little, the animated movie? Oh, I'm going to blank on it. That's horrible.
I want to jump in so bad.
Anyway, dope writer. We were talking about this. So when he did the Pixar film, he was talking about how they brought him in to be like one of the writers who were helping on this new movie. What happened was he was given so much game from his perspective, living in the neighborhood and blah, 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 that they were like, the director was like, you know, you should be writing this with me, right? So then he was like, you know, you should be directing this with me, right?
Come on, we're getting closer to the truth.
So they get to the point where they start... the film is done. They're starting to, you know, go out. He's just thinking because it's this big company that they're going to be sending them out everywhere and, you know, going on the tour. What they do, but they're only about the movie. What he learned was this. He went to go talk to the other director, and the director said, did you get your PR rep yet? And he's like, don't we have the studio?
Right, don't
and
we?
And he was like, no. Never trust them. You need them for yourself. So it's up to you to hire that person, because they won't be looking out for you. They'll be looking out for the movie. Once the movie's done, you're done. You should still be going when the movie's done. You know, that type of a thing.
Yeah.
I was like, that is bars right there.
Yeah.
Right? So that just made me think about, you get this opportunity on a show and you're sitting back. I'm not talking about you.
Yeah.
And you're sitting back. I go, she did. She sat back. And you sit back and you're waiting for them to promote you instead of you promoting yourself. Let's talk a little bit about...
I did make that mistake 100%. Like, you know...
See, I told you. I knew.
Yeah, I did. I never had PR. You know, I mean, I have very few followers. You know, I never... had those people kind of like champion me, even though I was doing like working on incredible shows like Criminal Minds and Friday Night Lights and ER and The Shield. And I just never, I was just like, oh, I'm just getting work. I just love getting work. I just want to work. But I, you know, work begets work. And if you, if I had someone championing me, I think I would have been further and higher. And actually, when I actually finally, I think after Pariah first came out, we started looking at...
Was that a feature film you were in?
Yes. That happens to be at Sundance right now, again, for the 40th anniversary, which is what we were talking about.
They didn't even invite you, did they?
I know. No. So, well, okay, stop. No, I was definitely told and everything. I couldn't put it together. But yeah, I mean, that's another thing we were talking about, like things lasting for so long and you never know, like making these little indie films, like how long it's going to last. Mm-hmm. But anyway, when Pariah first came out and my manager did start taking me to PR firms and I was doing, you know, interviews with them and stuff. I didn't realize, especially since I think you pay like $4,000 a month or something insane for it. They actually were like, yeah, when you book a show, then call us. Like, we can't really do anything with you. I'm like, but I have this indie film that, and they're like, nah, they didn't even want my money, y'all. I'm like, wow, what the heck?
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So you really have to like, you have to get a show and then get the PR at the same time. And then that definitely leads to more and more, because the more people see you, the more they get used to you and they want you and things like that. It definitely does work. I don't know if it's still the same now with social media. Like, do people still do major PR stuff?
Oh, yeah. There's major PR campaigns. I would say for me, I didn't respect PR and how much you needed it at first. And then everybody is always like, you so humble, you need to stop being humble, you need to get out in front, you need to, like, and all these things that just go against, because when you're an artist, you're doing it because you love the work.
I think we're all in the same boat on that.
It's difficult for your mind to go, me, self, like, it's just a thing where you feel like, oh, you know, it does something a little cringy, but you have to. And I know people that will go a lot further with less because they jumped on that PR train. Yeah, right. And then we'll make a moment like last and roll out into other things. And so it's one of the things that, definitely to answer your question, it's still happening now. Right. There's some stuff that I'm looking to announce soon. And the first thing they said is your PR in place? Do you have? And it was just kind of like, I'm not going to make that mistake again. Yes, I am going to have my PR in place. I'm taking her to dinner soon. Like, so it's just it's one of those things where you learn that you missed your moment, but you don't want to miss that moment twice. And it's like, even with social media and all these other things, even the people that are doing great on social media, they still have PR.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. They still have PR. And that PR, if they're worth anything, is busy getting them. I think Taraji was complaining about it after Empire. Mm-hmm. Where were my this? Where was that? Where were these things set up? You guys could have had me set up. And so a lot of times, if you're thinking that the notoriety of what you're doing right then is going to roll you in to the next, with help. So definitely.
Especially people at the level like a Taraji.
Yeah.
If she's saying it, you know, when it trickles down to people who they don't even see every day. Yeah. It's even less. And I'm in the same boat. I haven't taken advantage of PR. Like, we'd hire somebody here and there for things. And like, and you're like, again, that word sustaining. It was like, there's this project coming out. Let's talk about it now. And then they go away. And that's died. And no one hears about it again. Right. Hey, here's this other thing. Let's talk about it now. So it's so important. And I'm so guilty important. Too. Yeah. I'm guilty of having missed the boat as well,
because I do see you and Kirk on a lot of red carpets, though. Y'all be out there.
They do.
See, I think that shit is super important. Let me tell y'all a quick little story. Now, some of you guys have probably heard this story before, those of us at a certain age. Now, the rumor is this is just the rumor story, so this isn't 100% facts, but it's facts now. Because I said, so gather around the fireplace, children. So here's the story that I recall. When, if I remember the sequence of events, I think it was when John Travolta was on Welcome Back, Carter. And he went to his agents and was like, I want to be a superstar. What do I need to do? And they were like, we need to get you a PR rep. Wow. The PR rep is going to cost this amount of money. You only make this amount of money on the show. What are you going to do? And he was like, I'm willing to risk whatever it takes. So they got him this, the best PR rep in town. He spent a big portion of the money because they didn't pay a lot of money for TV shows back then. He spent a big portion of that, and within a month or two, he was on the cover of this magazine, that magazine, this magazine. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Because they used the fact that he was on the show now.
Yep. Yes, mm-hmm. Current.
Currently on a hot show.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And boom. I think it was Saturday Night Fever and all that other stuff started coming, if I recall. Yeah. So it's up to you. It's your investment. Mm-hmm. Like this place here, being on the lot, is my investment in myself.
Yeah, right? You have to.
You have to give it back to yourself in order for it to work. There's nobody... Yes. Going, here's your deal. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I did it the cheap way, and y'all don't know who I am. So.
working. So, I mean, at this point, you can just pick your next show and say, all right, I'll do it now.
Right. So answer this question. What's more important to you? To be known and work a little, or not be known and work a lot?
Not be known and work a lot.
Absolutely.
100%. Absolutely. 100%. Okay. Variety and meeting people and working with great creatives and telling many wonderful stories. Like, yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, sure, because in all of us in this room have friends that are celebrities. Yeah. And we all see their lives. Mm-hmm. It's not all we see. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about this before. Yeah. All we
y'all
see.
Y'all talk a lot, huh?
Oh, yeah.
It's my cousin.
It's my baby. Yes. We blood.
Here's the thing. What you see, and we all know this, what we see on the internet is only what we post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
come on with it.
All Snapchat. You see, and I'm going to give you guys an example.
So good.
For the last two Christmases, I've gotten a call from somebody we all know.
Sweet.
Asking them for money. Asking me for money.
Mm. Stop it.
What?
Stop it.
Because their money was tied up in something or whatever. Blah, 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 blah. Now, I'm saying that, but when you look at their Instagram.
Yeah. Infinity pools and lavishness.
You know what I mean? They flossing like
I bet they just got back from Greece.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I'm only saying that to say is you present the image you want everybody to see.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So what I've learned is... When I see a friend of mine be on the cover of Deadline or whatever the heck it is, I'm like, great for that person. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for the project to come out. Mm-hmm. That's just an announcement.
Mm-hmm. Come on. True.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's the lesson that I've learned over it. I've been in Deadline. Mm-hmm. It didn't mean shit.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying?
I've never been in Deadline.
It don't mean shit. Right? All it means is in this moment, there's something about to, we're just announcing something. Yeah. We're in what I've found is there's reasons that people do this, by the way. They do it, and there's several different ways. I'm just giving you my reasons. They do this for several reasons. They do this to announce to the industry that this is a show, movie, whatever it is, before anybody else announces it. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to go, we have a hold on this story. We have the rights. Don't freaking touch it. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's usually what they're doing. What they haven't said is, we haven't figured it out yet, though.
Yeah. Right.
We're bringing in Kirk to do the rewrite. We haven't told you that.
Right.
Kirk is busy for 6 months. So it's you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what happens. So even when, and those of us who write a lot of TV, what you see is this. You'll see an announcement for a show that you've been hearing about. You're like, oh, shit. Now I got to call my agent. Yo, you got to get me on the staff or whatever. Yeah. And they're like, oh, that was staff 6 months ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that happens, right? So it's all about when you decide to let something out.
Mm-hmm.
People are hiding information
yep.
because they want to be the first, or they put out information because they want to be the first a lot of times. That's mm-hmm. my experience.
Absolutely true. It's smoke, a lot of smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm.
Completely.
A lot. Yeah. It's you know, they show business, you know, business is what it's really about. And we all want to do what we love and make money and have infinity pools, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a business.
Yeah, it's a business show.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Show. Another T-shirt. You are just
I can't claim that one. I think that was Howard. I learned that in Howard. There was a course I took. I think it was called Business Show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because that's great. Were like, you're not gonna get out there and end up on Hollywood Boulevard trying to figure it out.
Know the business first.
Yeah.
Amen.
I heard that. Wow. So it's like even with this podcast, you were saying a moment ago about how you don't have a lot of followers. And I've said this before. I don't even know if I talked to you about this back in the day, Jade, was like this show, we've been going for 10 years, 477 episodes.
Wow.
This will be 400. Wow. This is dropping tomorrow, 478.
You done outlasted most people's relationships.
Yeah.
Okay, look. Say it.
Yeah. It is hard enough doing this thing. Here's where I was going is, I should have 100,000 followers, mm-hmm. right? Easily.
And $100,000.
Yes.
A month. That was a Freudian slip.
A month. But what I realize is, it was me. It was my fault. Like I said, I had co-hosts before who didn't want to be on screen. Mm-hmm. I could have been putting us out there 7-8 years ago when nobody else was really doing this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of reasons that kept me from doing certain things.
Yeah.
And then I'm 53. I'm like, I'm all on the internet.
53. You know what I mean? Looking like a slack.
I know.
Yeah. 33.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I know, you know, we vampires. And so for me, it's a lot of me. But so now... Yeah. Like, Jade's here, you know, helping me out. Like, I'm a rich. Like, all these people are starting to come in to be like, what do you need?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, how can we help you a little bit more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just, it's been a lot of me just not wanting to. Yeah. So,
all the time.
Like, I blast
what you did with acting until you said, all right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to jump back in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, I didn't take sponsorship on the show until last year.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Not paid sponsorship. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, now I'm like starting to really go, by the way, if y'all want to sponsor the show, you know, screenwritersrantroom@gmail.com. We got a lot of people listening to the show. You know, we're all over the world, but I don't even be like out trying to get $1,000 an episode from somebody, which I could. There's so many great black businesses that we keep promoting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Why is that? Yeah. Why do you think that is?
So, all right, let's talk about this.
We're so similar. Oh,
let's talk about this. Because I was just talking with my husband about this like 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized this. So Script Notes is one of, you know, the biggest screenwriting shows out, right? Shout out to John and Craig. What I realized is, I've always thought as a writer that it was not a good thing for me, the writer, to be going, hey, for coverage, I'll do this. Mm-hmm. Hey, buy our hats, buy our... But mm-hmm. I felt like as a writer, I can't be, I'm supposed to be giving you free game.
Well, who's supposed to do that then?
They do.
Okay.
So
okay.
I was like, it just hit me. I was like, wait a minute.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes. Why am I the only one not asking nobody for nothing?
Right.
Okay. Yes.
Doing all this for free. Yes. And it's been bothering me for the last 2 years. And, and to be honest, every month I'm like, I think I'm going to be done next month.
No.
Like, what am I doing it for?
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? And like, it should be paying my rent.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
It absolutely should. But the game that you kick to people and the people that love to come here. Right. On whatever day, at whatever time.
For whatever reason.
It's because it's like a giving and a taking. And it's just, you give. You give so much. You give so much free game. You bring in people that are willing to spill their hearts and everything. And you do it. And I think part of the thing with you, Hilliard, is that you just love to make it happen. It kind of goes back to the art when you were saying, do you want to be famous or do you want... Like, you love doing it. You love the joy. You love being able to make that difference in people's lives and bring like-minded people together. And so sometimes I think there's a side that says, I can't love this and also be this.
Sure.
But that's not the truth. And that's like, that's the biggest thing. Again, I don't want to self-promote. It's that. It's very much that. But that... You doing that will allow you to affect more and have longer reach and have less stress, but
and survive
and sustain.
Right.
And so it's like a full circle thing. It's like the thing that you love the most, you're protecting it, and you don't want to ask sometimes, or even do you know what to ask for sometimes because you're so used to doing everything.
Right.
But people, I guarantee you, people will pour in. Mm-hmm. People will pour, and I promise you, people will pour in if you ask them to. It's just hard to ask.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a privilege for someone to promote their product, you know, to your audience.
Oh my God.
And, you know, to give you that money that you need. Yeah, so it would absolutely be a privilege. See, I should have kept my phone near me. I told y'all I should have been away from it.
It's all right. Booked and busy on a Sunday.
Yeah, no.
It's all good.
It's my mama.
Hey, mom.
Where you at? Come get this kid.
Where you call me back?
But yeah, as I was saying, it would just be a privilege for anyone to be able to promote their product on, you know, a show like this. And you deserve that. And you, like, you're in this beautiful lot, and mm-hmm. it's a privilege for us to come here. I love being back yes. on this lot, you know. So you should be able to, be able to do that.
You're fancy in here.
Right.
There's people in their garages and, you know, stuff right. like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you're providing a space and an ability for us all to communicate right. and connect. Yeah. And I could yeah. talk about, you know, acting in the business all day long. And I love that you give me that opportunity. So, yeah, I want you to look at, you got donuts and muffins.
Look at the red carpet.
Look at this. Right. We are surrounded by greatness. So, that has to be paid for. It doesn't come free. So you deserve that. Go after it.
Thank you.
It.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I definitely want to have a bigger voice out there. I definitely think, like I said, as I watch Drink Champs and all these other shows, I'm like, mm-hmm. we are already doing the show.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. We just need, even if we just did it here, we could still be, exactly. we could start here and move to a studio eventually. You know what I mean?
Have you recorded that freestyle yet? The one that opens the show on screen?
No. I could. I mean, I didn't do it.
You
That's
should.
My friend who did it. I could ask him to do it.
That's like a whole moment right there. Yeah. I'll wait for that.
So the theme song is by Jack Spade. Shout out to Jack Spade.
Shout out.
When I first started doing the show, like maybe 2-3 years into it, he hit me on Twitter or something, and we were talking about something. And I was just looking at his bio, and I saw that he's like a hip-hop artist. And I went, and I just said, fucking. I said, yo, dude, maybe one day you'll write a theme song for us. And he was like, yo, dude, sure. Wow. And I was like, and he's like, what do you want to say? And I was like, well, it's got to say, you know, keep it real. You know, I just gave him a couple words. The next day, yep. he sent that.
Oh, it's lit.
The next day. I was like,
you could even have your stuff intercut with that. Yes. I mean, it's already an opening. I mean, it's such a catchy moment.
Wow.
I have no idea how to do that.
He's like, tap, tap, tap.
Okay.
Exactly. I was telling Jay before we started, as you notice, I'm starting to do those little videos, where I just do it like, hey, everybody, blah, blah, blah.
Hold up.
Yes.
Can we agree to take out the word little?
Ooh.
I could try.
Yes. I've heard it 3 or 4 times around this table today.
It's a habit.
And it's
habit.
Like, not just you. Yes.
Oh, other people
said it? I'm talking about all of us. Like little Andes or little videos or little jobs.
Amen.
Let's make a pact.
Yeah, let's do it.
To just leave out that word, and it's just as effective.
Mm.
If you
thank you,
make
sis.
Some videos.
I will try.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I like it.
Thank you.
So I'm making these dope ass videos.
There we go.
Hey. Hello.
And I was telling Jade off screen that off mic that I would love to do things with more graphics and, you know, things bling and they pop. I have no idea what people are. Your minds are just flat. I'm just sitting there talking to y'all.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? I don't know how to. I don't know how people are like. And then all of a sudden, this thing pops up in the middle.
I know.
How incredible!
What are these kids doing today?
Yes.
How do you have time to even discover that? I don't know. So one day we're gonna talk, Jade. We're gonna figure that out. Yes. We're gonna figure that out.
Make your little real no. Make your amazing reels and get paid for them.
Yes.
That's what I want for you.
Right.
Yes, 100%.
I like that. That's a way to go. So what's next for everybody? What y'all got going on? Because now all of us are filmmakers. Because I know you be working with my girl over there. Y'all still got some stuff going on?
Well, I'm actually. Can I talk about it?
Can you?
I don't know.
Give us what you can. Give us what you can.
Yeah, I'm working on thrillers, and I'm also, you know, working with some really cool people that I'm excited about soon. And yeah, telling really great Black stories.
Shout out to Tamika Briscoe.
Yes, Briscoe. Pierre Romaine, who's amazing. I'm excited to work with him. We're definitely like collaborating right now. And there's certain stories that I want to tell, and I'm just so excited to find the right people and the right fit.
Thanks.
And I did the typical Asha thing, and I kind of waited for it to come to me. I think he was in my DMs like a couple times before, you know, the new year. And then he's like, have you watched my movies yet? And I was like, I'm getting to it. And then I watched them, and I was like amazed and blown away. Okay. And they're like my favorite movies. He did So Fly Christmas with Sheena Arnold is like one of my favorite comedians. So I want to give him a shout out for doing a great job with that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he just has like a great eye. And so I'm excited to do more stuff with him. Nice. What else? I got a couple things going on. I'm going to work with Derek Waters again from Drunk History. Mm-hmm. I love him. Like, I just have people that I've established with that I just want to work with over and over again, and new people that I'm excited. I want to tell great, dope ass stories.
Love it, love it. What about
big
you?
Ones? Yes.
I know, that's right.
What about you, Lynette?
For me, what's coming up currently is a slate of films that I'm really excited about because I get to tell different stories, different genres. So a slate, one being horror, one thriller, and then one coming of age. Okay. And so it's exciting because it's able to be a lot of different voices, a lot of different reach for each of the projects. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing I'm excited about is finally being able to secure, and I'll speak more on it when I can, but being able to secure a nice investment so that we can get three things done and then partner with the studios for advertising and things like that, so that it's not such a crapshoot of, well, where is it going to go when it's finished? But sometimes when you already have things that are locked into place and you're able to bring financing to it, you can have conversations earlier. And just trying to be smarter, again, sustainability, trying to be smarter in terms of, okay, so would you guys be more excited about this person or this direction, or, you know, things like that, just planning it so that everything can kind of go off without a hitch. And so it's the biggest slate that I've been able to do thus far. So extremely excited about that. And then currently figuring out, you mentioned Angie's Cure. Mm-hmm. Yay, that's my baby. Mm-hmm. Angie's Cure, we won.
Y'all would love this movie.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We won Dances with Films in Los Angeles just last year with Angie's Cure. And we have not distributed it yet. Wow. Largely due to waiting for the right situation, as opposed to right now
just throwing it on Tubi,
just
begin.
Throwing it on here. I mean, because you can, but it's one of those things where the lesson I've learned that sometimes is that even though you want to be able to get things released, creating the opportunity for yourself so that it's seen in the best way, and sometimes it might not be the best financial move, but it puts you, John Travolta, puts you in, you know, a situation where it helps, like, the next three things go a lot smoother. So just making the right situation and maybe even hip-pocketing that with what I'm currently doing. And then finally getting that sci-fi out of post. We're so close. That one that the VFX.
You're no longer hostage.
Woo! We gotta roll up. We gotta roll up to this. So got another brilliant VFX artist to go ahead and pick up and get us back on track. And I've been super excited for that. I feel like there's so many times, and I'm sure you guys feel like this, when you do projects that are before everybody else gets on them, and then if they don't get out, you want to be like, oh, we already did. Oh, I know. And so had one of those that we shot the sci-fi right before COVID. Literally, that was the one that got hijacked for the longest. And it's about so many things that are happening now that were already scripted. And so, that's where things stand with me in terms of acting in quite a few of them, but writing on all of them and then just trying to make sure that everything
and producing.
Is and producing that. Nice. So looking to keep creating and collaborating with as many like-minded people as possible.
Amen.
I love that everybody's being their own boss. What about you, Joni? Mm-hmm. What you got next? I know you're coming back. Come on, a little closer.
I am going to stay in touch with these ladies.
Yes,
they got it going on.
Yes, you need to.
And then I'm going to do something a little different. Actually, getting your call a couple of days ago, or your messenger.
I told hubby to give me your number.
you reached me. But just thinking about coming here, I stopped and was like, you know, I texted you and I was like, so what are we going to talk about? I need to, are there any questions? And I was just like thinking back over my life, and I was like, and looking at some of the things that I had written, and I've had this book idea that's like 50 pages in.
Okay.
And I decided this weekend, because I got your call, that I'm going to brush off the laptop and get back to that book.
I love it.
So that's one thing. And then
I got that fairy dust, girl.
See? And then the other thing is Bosch, you know, the spinoff Bosch Legacy. Mm-hmm. When I was working the show, my TV boss was Lance Reddick. And we know we lost him. Right. Yeah. And so I had been praying that I could get back in that Bosch family. And last week, they called me and said they're going to hire a new female chief of police, really? And they want to bring my character back to be her assistant. So I'm like,
Come on.
Didn't he work it out? So I'm excited about that, getting back on there and just seeing what happens with that. Mm-hmm. But this really was just getting your call was an inspiration.
That's good.
So thank you.
That's good. Well, yeah. Y'all know I'm here. I'm reading your script now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She wrote this dope script. I love it. But I'm here for y'all. Y'all mm-hmm. need some eyes. If I have time,
I
will stop. It might take me about a week, but I'll read it for sure.
And likewise, we're here for you.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm here for you.
Yeah, and I'll be talking to Kirk next week because we know he be putting the shit out.
Okay. And he's a fast writer.
I know. I remember.
I'm like, Kirk can write so fast, and I'll be like, on page 10, he'll be
like,
wrapping it up.
I envy that. Like, I know, right? I envy that. So my one friend's like, yeah, I wrote the script in a day. And I'm like, what? Like,
how did
you do that? I got like halfway through my thriller script right now and I'm just stuck. I'm like super, super stuck. And I know what I want to do and where I want it to end.
Come ahead. We'll talk.
Yeah, I need, it's going to be a whole I'll get you through.
I need help. Yeah, for sure. Because I'm excited about it and I think it's really great, but I just...
Like, it's a feature, right?
Yeah.
If people get stuck in act two, 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
It's because they're scared of that long... Mm-hmm. There's this 40-page spot where everybody's like, how do I get out of this?
Because they're thinking about getting to act three. Yeah. Like,
you got to look at them as sequences. Yeah. And when you do that, you see them as smaller pockets. Mm. And you can get through another whole nother show.
Yeah, well,
he got you.
Exactly. I can't really say, but I'm working on this show that looked like we're going to be shooting in the February, March.
Nice.
So that'd be good. So we're supposed to be starting prep really, really soon. So we'll see.
Congratulations.
We'll see if all that works out.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Boom. Anyway, thank y'all.
Yes. Wait. While you're doing that show, is she going to be getting all your clips?
We'll see. I'm going to try to get it on. We'll see. She might be in class or some shit. But we'll see. Anyway, thank you guys. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Yes, it really, really is.
Indeed. Thank you for hanging, Kirk, Jade, Rich, as always, hanging out with me.
Thank you for your fairy dust.
Mm-hmm. Bringing donuts and stuff and shit like that.
Yeah, I'm about to get into those right now.
Yes, indeed. Where can people follow you at?
Oh, Asha? Okay. Here's an opportunity. Yes,
sale.
Hi. I'm on IG at Asha Davis. It's A-A-S-H-A. Maybe that's why I like my name is spelled weird. Anyway, at A-A-S-H-A-D-A-V-I-S. I'm on Thread. I'm on Instagram and Facebook.
Are you off of Twitter?
I'm on there, but they took my blue check away, and I'm like, whatever. I don't even want to be on there anymore.
Because you didn't pay for it.
No, I'm Elon. Elon.
I told y'all I was cheap.
Lynette, where you at?
You can find me the easiest on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook. Instagram, it's Lynette Tachelle, so it's LANETT_TACHEL. Facebook, Lynette Tachelle Proctor, my full government. those are the two. Not on Twitter. I think I got an account out there sometime from 05 or something, but I'm not on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, because I see that too.
Is it still in the ether? I don't know what I looked like back then. I got to scrub that.
Yeah, scrub it.
Same here.
Joni.
I just recently got a text from X.
X. Twitter. Oh, I'm sorry. I said saying, Twitter. See, that's how you know I ain't X.
Saying, X. They're X. saying. Hey, look what you've been missing. Because I haven't been on there so long.
Where are you at, Joni?
I'm Joyful Joni on X, but I haven't been on X. But that's Instagram funny. Is simply my name, Joni Bovill. Mm-hmm. JoniBovill. And also on Facebook, Joni Bovill.
Follow you right now.
Yep.
That's good. That's
Please
good.
Do. Mm-hmm. All right.
And I am your host, Hilliard Guest. You guys can find me on Twitter X, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, Snapchat, which I don't even understand. I don't get that one at all.
But you on there,
right? My son is on
there. I don't really understand Threads either. I put some videos on and they gone. I'm like, where did they go? I don't understand. We got to talk, Jade. anyway, that you guys can find me on everything at Hilliard Guest everywhere, even LinkedIn and everything. Also, please go on iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you guys listen to. We are all over the world. Please go on screenwritersrantroom@gmail.com if you have any questions for me. New website coming, so don't even look at the website right now, but it'll be here in a couple weeks. All new shit, new merch, all kind of stuff. We're coming. Mm-hmm. It's coming.
Yes.
Finally doing something for myself.
Yeah, get it. You can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Exactly. Thank you again, Jade, Rich, and of course my man Kirk. We'll see him next week. Everybody joining me for 2024. See, I almost forgot it again.
I know.
Everybody joining me for Nothing But Game, all right? Game all day.
Game all day.
Y'all change it too much. Okay. Anyway, thank you again. You guys know how we do it on the Rant Room. On the show, we keep it real. We keep it opinionated. We keep it what? Everybody.
Game all day.
Yeah. Peace, y'all.
I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Rant Room. So you wanna be a writer, well you gotta be a writer till your fears are diminished and the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed in the rant room. We let that shit up off our chest. You never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the craft of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. Welcome to the rant room.